Okay, item 2 is a secondary plan amendment at 1963, 1967, and 1977 Henderson Highway, 234 and 236 Bonner Avenue, under file SPA 6 of 2013. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following two items will also be heard at the same time. Item 3 is subdivision rezoning at part of 1963, 1977, and 1987 Henderson Highway, 234 and 236 Bonner Avenue, under file DASZ 51 of 2013, and item 4, a variance at part of 1963, 1977, 1987 Henderson Highway, 234 and 236 Bonner Avenue, under file DAV 175256 2013D. The applicant, Donovan Taves.
Thank you. It's Donovan Taves with Landmark Planning. It seems a little bit quieter than the last, but nonetheless a very important application in our opinion, and those who are here, I'm sure, on either side of the fence. I have about 14 slides to present. I'll try and keep within my 10 minutes, which I should be able to do. The first few slides are to orient the committee to the actual proposal, and then the next four or five slides have some policy in it that I'm citing the planner's report and also the documents from our Winnipeg and Complete Communities and so forth. And then the last section, I'm highlighting some of the public engagement that's taken place, and I'd be happy to answer questions at that point or at any point. This slide just orients us to the development site. Henderson Highway is here. Bonner Avenue is here. Strood Avenue is here. There's a back lane that runs beside the site here, which has received some attention and I'll speak to during my presentation. Around the site, there are single family large lot homes that front on Bonner here, and they rear on the public lane here. There's some single family to the south of the site here, fronting on Strood, and again with the rearage on the lane. There's a Bass Auto Center. It's basically a repair shop here. The Red River Co-op here. Across Henderson, there's multiple family housing. There's a seniors care facility. And immediately adjacent to the property on Henderson Highway is the Shell gas station here. And immediately to the north across Bonner, there's a commercial mall that includes two parts, a piece here and a piece here. So there's a mix of uses that surround this site. It does have, and it has deserved a fair bit of attention, deservedly so, single family adjacent to it here and here, but that's not to say that it isn't along a major artery and surrounded by multiple uses, as I've demonstrated on this slide. So we zoomed in a little bit here, just so you can see, and then you can see the development site a little better. This is that Shell station that I pointed out in the first slide at the corner of Henderson and Bonner. The commercial over here, the Bass Auto here. And then we've proposed a 72-unit multifamily condominium block where you see it here, and this is just inserted, some fancy work. I should have mentioned that I have also with me Andrew Koop, who is the potential owner of the property, with Irwin Holmes, and then Joel Neufeld up in the stands to our right, and also Otto Clausen, Otto Chang. I know an Otto Clausen, that's why. And there's not many Ottos out there. Otto Chang, who is the architect, and he's done these renderings to insert the building into the context so it helps us visualize it a little better. And up here, there's an existing vacant, somewhat dilapidated, old, newish vacant building that would be removed. And we're proposing an office/retail building up on the frontage of Henderson Highway. This is just another view of the same rendering, except this time we're looking to the west. So Henderson Highway in this view is up here, and Bonner is down here. Strood Avenue is up here. So it's just another way to visualize what's being proposed. And I should mention, some of these slides are taken from the open house that we held so that we could help residents adjacent and farther from the property to visualize what was being proposed. Another graphic just to illustrate the quality that we're talking about here. We're not talking about a lower end or a lower quality building, and we're not talking a luxurious condominium complex. It's meant to be afforded by Winnipeggers in terms of the Winnipeg market. But you can see the finishing materials. There's stone used from not just at the bottom below the first floor windows, but we've got it all going all the way up to the second floor windows, high quality stonework, as well as timber frame. All in all, you're creating a bit of a lodge feel for this condominium complex. This is a site plan. I'm just going to zoom in a little bit. There's not much to add other than apart from the renderings that I've shown already, but you can see in this architectural drawing the footprint of the main multifamily building. It's in two parts. So there's some articulation on the building. It's not one long, narrow building, which adds to its attractiveness. We've left a substantial yard to the east here, knowing that there is a single-family residence right here. So that's fairly substantial, and then we step it back towards the back of the yard. The house is up here adjacent. I want to point out a couple of things that we've talked about with residents, and I will recap that program that we've undertaken to talk to people in the neighborhood in a little bit. One of the major points of concern raised by people in the area was this public lane. I understand from previous applications, such as the Red River Co-op, that that lane was quite a contentious issue and that residents in the area had fought to ensure that there was no commercial access to that public lane. A lot of people in the neighborhood use this lane almost like a pathway to head down to Buns Creek, and I've walked it several times myself. I've driven it as well to get a good feel for it, and that's correct. I would say that's accurate. It's quite quiet the way it sits, and people value it that way. We originally had a couple of proposals here, one that had substantially more commercial as a possibility for maximizing value on the site. In addition to this one, both of those concepts used the lane under the idea that more access is better. Typically, creating a street network is better than not having a network where you get stuck with local streets beside malls and things. So in this proposal, we've made what we consider a major change, and one that we're quite prepared to live with, and we've committed to that, and that's to eliminate access to this public lane. So in this plan, you see there's no access whatsoever. We had actually done a subsequent plan to the original, which had access, where we said, okay, well, we'll just have visitors parking there, so there's not as much traffic. So there's only visitors parking off that lane. And then we also had some garbage bins there as well. But we heard further loud and clear that nothing in terms of the lane that would be very important to people. And we have understood that, and we have taken care of that and eliminated that, and we're willing to have that entrenched on the title in the rezoning agreement, however you see best to have us stick to that promise. A couple other small notes. So we had shown there's a underground parking here for the condo units, and we had shown this parking ramp where you see it now. It was coming directly off Henderson, and that was seen as not a good setup. So we've actually moved to just one access point off Bonner, which would be for here, and this access point would serve the parking area and then would also serve the underground parking area here. The balance of the site in the back here is used for surface parking for visitors and, yes, please.
Parkade, and you're making a right. How do you get to turn right onto Bonner? That looks awfully, what's the radius there? Does that work?
We've got it so the radius is satisfactory. Yeah, so you can come up here and then turn, and it's hard to see at this scale, I appreciate, and then you can turn right there.
Okay.
We can certainly ask Public Works if they're okay with it.
You have a zoomed-in view at some point?
That's about as zoomed in as we get, but okay. Yeah.
Do you have paper plans with you tonight? Or
Pardon me?
Do you have paper blueprints or plans? Do you have plans on paper? Or?
We can provide those to the clerk,
okay.
Yeah.
But you don't have a copy here tonight?
No, I'm sure we'll be back for plan approval, so I assume that we would come with paper through the plan approval process.
Okay, continue, sorry.
Okay, no, that's fine. And I'll just highlight the Bass Auto site here. It's an adjacent user, and then the Shell station here with the building ending right adjacent to our property line here. On the south elevation, again, there was a fair bit of discussion about the south elevation, given that there are single-family homes along Strood Avenue to the south that back onto this site. And, of course, people on that side had some concern about the change in use, and we've understood that, and we've been working with people to try and address those issues. One of the things we're considering right now, and we haven't shown it in plans because it's still a consideration. Well, let me back up. There are a number of things that we've already agreed to do, and we'd be happy to commit to in a zoning agreement as well, is that we've made all of these south-facing windows opaque as opposed to translucent. There are concerns about privacy in the existing single-family homes to the south. So if it's an opaque window, you can't see through it at all, and yet it still allows the light in. So the architect worked with us to make those opaque. Secondly, we had balconies right at the southwest corner and the southeast corner of the building, right at the corner, so you could, in theory, peer around and get a long view all the way along the back lane. And so we've taken those balconies and moved them north for those units. So that will reduce that privacy issue in a second way. Thirdly, we've agreed that on those south units, the balconies themselves, the south wall of those balconies could also have an opaque screen. So all these three measures together will reduce that privacy issue. I'm sure there are some lingering concerns about that. However, we've made a real effort to address the issue, and we'd be happy to discuss anything further in that respect. We've also, I guess in a fourth way, and it's in the planner's report as well, looking for a 6-foot wood fence on the south side so that at ground level you also have privacy. And for anyone walking on the site, they won't be able to see into the backyards of the people who live there now. And we've agreed to substantial landscaping on that side, which we can handle in plan approval as well, should you see it fit to approve this application. And I didn't talk about this green wall, but this is actually a picture. Is that U of M? I think it's, U of M building, where if you can see in this picture, they've actually created a framework that's removed by a few feet from the south wall, and they allow vines and greenery to grow up there. Obviously, it's not 100% screen in winter. There were some questions. Thank you. Anyway, this is an option that we'd be willing to consider. Just some policy, which is also cited in the planner's report, so I won't dwell for a long time on these next four slides. I will point out that the application sits in this light gray area, which is a recent community. And I'll just note that recent communities, one of the key directions is that it looks for intense and diverse development to be encouraged in these areas. The second document, a subset, if you will, of our Winnipeg is Complete Communities, which guides development. It identifies Henderson Highway as a regional mixed-use corridor. And again, Mr. Pill has highlighted this in his report. But these three points are important in supporting this application. A focus, a broad mix of residential, employment, retail development within strategic locations along corridors. This is a Henderson Highway property, and it does have access to Bonner, but it also has access to Henderson Highway directly. Promote the highest levels of intensification at significant intersections. Between each center, lower intensities of commercial, residential, and mixed-use development are appropriate. And develop corridors in accordance with TOD principles. That's transit-oriented design. That TOD handbook, I'll just focus on the first three points, suggests that the key to TOD development on these corridors is to have medium to high density development that is greater than the community average. And, of course, we would be increasing the density here significantly. And to have a mix of uses, which this proposal includes, and to have compact, high-quality pedestrian-oriented environment, which we will provide in terms of amenities, sidewalks connecting to local features. I won't highlight the last three. And then lastly, the plan that we're seeking to amend, it's quite apparent if you look at the plan and if you look in the planner's report at the amendments to date, what the pattern is, and I don't think that's a poor pattern. I think that's a pattern that's responsive to the preceding documents, which is there's been nine amendments, and a lot of them for high density and medium density residential development along this corridor. So in our opinion, urban intensification has slowly gained acceptance in our city. In all areas, in my opinion, and we do work in all areas of the city and we see it, we think it's good planning and it's a necessary way to reduce infrastructure costs in the long term. We all complain about infrastructure costs at the edge of the city, and unfortunately it's challenging to continue to build inside the city when there are opportunities like this one because of the challenges with new development in existing areas. The last section of the slide presentation here that we did have a lengthy public consultation process. We did not hurry, and that's part of the way we like to do it. Give people time, take the time that they deserve to have diligent conversations and see if there are things we can work out before the fact instead of at the table here. So we met in June. In the week of June, we had a series of meetings, invited people directly adjacent and in the immediate vicinity to attend these meetings, talked about our early plans and ideas, came back in August and had similar meetings with a small group around the area. And then we had a public open house. We didn't want to exclude others from being in on these discussions. And all of this, I should add, before we've submitted an application. So we wanted to take the pressure off an application and just do our discussions early and regularly. We've held we've had continued email correspondence with anyone who's attended our meetings to date. And you'll hear from some of them today, I'm sure, that will echo that. This simply describes the area. This is the subject site. The area in green might be hard to see is that group that we talked to, and our feeling is that people who live directly adjacent who might be impacted by view or traffic or other things, we wanted to make sure that we spoke with them at length. And then, as I say, we invited everyone in this red area. In fact, we invited all of Northwest Winnipeg by our advertisements in the Herald and to the open house to share our plans. I won't stay long here. We had 37 people attend the open house, and this is in addition to our earlier stakeholder meetings. 20 of those filled out a comment sheet. 17 out of 18 said that they had we had done a good job, that our information was helpful, that we were helpful. We had a mix of people from different areas, from Stroud Avenue, from Bonner, from other nearby streets, and some who didn't answer. These are some of the issues, and I'll spend a little time on this slide if you'll allow me. So I've created this chart that simply identifies a concern. It's not exhaustive, but these were some of the main ones and our response. I mentioned the Stroud Avenue back lane. We've eliminated lane access, not allowing garbage trucks or loading. There's no construction traffic on the back lane, and we're willing to commit to that in an ACG condition. We had early ideas of a coffee shop. We've eliminated that, and we had a commercial site plan I mentioned. We've abandoned that. The privacy issues I mentioned at length, so I'll move to the traffic. In terms of the traffic, we did conduct due diligence. We spoke with the Public Works Department, asked them if at the outset are they concerned, would they be requiring a traffic impact assessment. They said they looked at it. They said no. In their experience, they've seen all sorts of scales of development, and this doesn't hit the radar for a traffic study. That said, I didn't stop there. I went to a traffic engineer to ask them to do a quick check on the ITE trip generation manuals, and we can share those numbers with you, but they're very, very low. Peak hour, we're looking at about 14 cars in the morning additional to the street in the peak hour, and in the evening about 18 additional cars. That's one about every 3 minutes or so onto the existing street system. Building height, there was a desire to lower the building height. We had said from the beginning, we were transparent, and we said we're not playing a game where we're going to go to 10 stories and then end up at 4 or something like that. 4 stories is what's proposed, and we didn't feel that that was unreasonable. We've seen developments recently, well, in other cities, but in our city, Fair City as well, where we've got, I did an application recently, within the last couple of years, on a local street in this community committee area, and it was approved at 4 stories through discussion with the residents. Proponent went out, and it's a 15-story right now. And we see lots of tall buildings elsewhere in residential areas directly adjacent to single-family homes. Is that bad? If I lived next door, I would have concerns. That's true, because there's a change factor here. But is it bad from a planning point of view? No, I think it's very good, and I think it's the direction that we need to go. We do need to look for sites. And there aren't a lot of sites. This is a very good one. It's right on a regional corridor. I've seen others that are buried deep inside single-family neighborhoods that also get approved. We need to be making better use of our infrastructure, in our opinion. Sorry for the soapbox. The ramp directly off of Bonner I mentioned already. And that's the end of the presentation.
Any questions?
Would you like me to leave the site plan up?
Also in support, Andrew Coop.
Hi, I'm Andrew Coop. I'm the owner of Irwin Homes. I won't have much to say because I think it's all been said. I just wanted to let you know I'm very excited to to bring this proposal in front of you. I think it's I'm very excited about a mixed-use space on infill lots, and I think it'll be a beautiful new addition to our city. So that's it from my perspective.
Just confirming, this takes out, this would remove one single-family home on Bonner?
Sorry, what's that?
Would this remove one single-family home on Bonner?
No, two? There's two on Bonner, and the two, yeah, there's two homes on Bonner.
Yeah.
And then there's two, I'll call them half, one's half-built yeah. and a derelict building
yeah,
on
okay.
Henderson. So four, yeah. Really six properties make this site up.
Gotcha.
But four homes, I'll call it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Joe Musfeld, do you wish to speak? Okay. Otto Cheng. Oh, we found the missing from the previous meeting. Is it Jerry Madowitz? Okay, those are all the people I have registered in support. Is there anyone in support whose name has not been called? Okay, I will start with those people registered in opposition. Darlene Weslak, do you wish to speak? Darlene? Okay. Okay. Judith Balabas, okay. And I'll just call the next name. Hans Regier, do you wish to speak? No? Okay, and I'll just call up the J.
Did you get?
No.
Maybe later.
Okay. J. Kilpatrick, do you wish to
That's
speak?
Just clarify that this is the opportunity to speak to
you. Yeah. Yeah, if you wish to speak, please come down. You can
go ahead.
We might have to. Travis will move the laptop.
Good Avenue, and I appreciate this opportunity to present. As an aside, and as I'm likely one of the few senior citizens here at this point in time, I would just like to tell you about the good old days. In 1995, when we had a similar situation dealing with the co-op gas station in 1999, the housing that went up on the north side of Buns Creek, the community council meeting was held in our area. And it was much easier. There wasn't rush hour. I knew where I was going to park. I didn't have to pay parking, and it wasn't done in the wintertime, and it really encouraged a lot more people to come out. So I just make a suggestion in the future when possible that when you're having these community hearings on rezoning, that you attempt to have it in the area in which or nearby that it's being located. Just a point as a senior citizen.
Community committee to still meet in the community? Over security and a whole multitude of issues, we got forced downtown, but this was against our doing.
Okay, well, I just had to make the point. I've lived in my home on Stroud Avenue for 22 plus years. I chose to live in this well-established residential area, believing that any commercial multiple housing developments would be built on Henderson Highway, not built infringing onto where there are existing residential single homes. I do not oppose property development on Henderson Highway. Absolutely not. That is not the issue. My issue is that I oppose the development that takes over existing residential home properties whose frontage is not adjacent to Henderson Highway. Some history. In 1995, there was a rezoning application to construct a multi-story development adjacent to Buns Creek on the north side, across from Knowles School. And subsequently, that was diverted into a series of about 10 low housing condos. And then in 1999, as you heard from Donovan, there was the establishment of the co-op service station and all kinds of concerns, including the Pack Lane. At that time, I had the assistance of a Mr. Nelson, who had a similar position with the City of Winnipeg that I believe Mr. Pill now has. And he provided me with information that back at that time, between Chief Peguis Trail and Bunce Creek, there were 3,000-plus residential units that had direct access to Henderson Highway. Now, if we go back to that time, to now 2014, and how many more developments have gone up, and how many more businesses have been put in, that 3,000-plus is totally out of whack. I just make that point so that you have some idea of the traffic on Henderson Highway. Traffic issues in our neighborhood are a real issue. In the summertime, spring and fall, there are speeders that are so bad that one of these days somebody will be killed or badly injured. We have lots of school-aged children on our street right now. No parent is allowing their child on the street without an adult present. Somebody somebody from a city planning department stood at Pentland to see whether we needed a stop sign there, because a stop sign at Pentland and Strood, halfway between Henderson and Rothesay, would definitely cut down on the speeding. And I still want to push that point, even though whoever had the foresight of the city to say there wasn't enough traffic to do it. It's not the amount of traffic. It's the handful of people that drive crazy on that street because they know you can gun it from Rothesay to Henderson and nobody's going to stop you. On our street, we get a fair amount of parking. At times, we have the people who are attending at the Claussen Funeral Home. We have the overflow from Smitty's restaurant, especially on Thursdays and Monday nights when they apparently have a fabulous wing special night. We often have workers from the nursing home who will park on our street. And as a result, the way our street is, if somebody is attempting to drive east from Henderson Highway down Strood, the cars going west have to pull in to let the other car pass. And it's really quite tricky. And again, I'm concerned that something will happen. Ever try accessing Henderson Highway from Strood Avenue in rush hour, especially if you want to turn south? I know that Donovan has said they're anticipating 12 to 14 additional vehicles coming off Bonner. On a Saturday morning, which isn't rush hour, at 10:30 in the morning, I have sat at that corner for at least 5 minutes before I could safely turn south to get onto Henderson Highway. So traffic is a real issue. Between the back lane that Donovan showed you here and Henderson Highway, there used to be a pole, and the pole said no parking from the back lane to Henderson Highway. Well, that pole has been knocked down I don't know how many times. The last time I saw it, it was lying on the ground in the back lane, and it has disappeared. So I think something like for 2 years now, we don't have a don't park here sign. Now, those of us who are fairly good drivers know that there's a law that says you must not park, 9 to 10 feet from a corner? So you can see the view when you do get to the intersection to try and pull out. That sign hasn't been there for years. Our street already has a fair amount of parking and people parking doing whatever they do. I have found vodka bottles, I have found beer cans, I have found condoms and various other garbage in my yard. And not just one day in the spring, fall and summer and the winter, I would say fairly frequently every month. With the increase in traffic comes the increase in noise levels. We already accommodate more than residential parking on our street, and the potential of overflow from this proposed development exists. Yes, there are 12 visitor parking spots. If you have 72 units, I am still willing to bet there are going to be days when those people need someplace else to park, and I'm willing to bet the street will be high on their list. Bill Natarak, who is my neighbor at 247 Strood Street, was unable to attend tonight, and he sent in a written presentation that I didn't hear the committee clerk refer to. Yes, I actually brought about four copies. He emailed it to all the neighbors and said that he had talked with Mr. Pill, I believe. They all have copies of his presentation? Just wanted to check. Okay. I feel as a citizen of Winnipeg that commercial rights take precedent with the city councillors over residential rights. And I appreciate all those meetings that Donovan referred to. Yes, Landmark Realty did have several meetings with us. They kept in touch with us. They have accommodated some of the requests. My biggest issue is not the development on Henderson. My biggest concern is the development where the two residential properties exist, because you are now infringing and encroaching on this proposal into a residential area. And I would say to you, would you want to have a high rise built next door to your single residential property? I suspect the answer would be no. If this goes ahead the way it is, and the two houses are gone, and this now extends onto Bonner Avenue and down our back lane, what's going to happen next on Bonner? What kind of city planning is there? Can I anticipate that I'm going to have a whole street on Bonner that's going to be made up of multiple housing and commercial development? You may or may not know that halfway down the block on Bonner between Henderson and Rothesay, the city already owns one residential property that's empty. I'm not sure why. I find that a very strange phenomenon, and that is a concern to me. When I bought my home, the same way the gentleman with the toque who was speaking on behalf of the previous group said, I bought my home because I liked the tone of the neighborhood. I liked the residential. I knew there was going to be development on Henderson, which continues to happen. Fine. But now we're impinging onto, encroaching onto the residential area, and that's a very big concern for me. I don't want high density backing onto my property or to my neighborhood. And I really don't know how you can do it, but I really would like you to consider that this proposal stay only on Henderson Highway and not take over where the two residential homes are on Bonner. It's affecting the tone of my neighborhood, increased noise and traffic, and the safety, not only for me as a pedestrian and a driver, but also for the families who have children. So, as I say, and I've told Donovan this, I support it being on Henderson. I do not support it being where the residential homes are. And I'd ask you to give very due consideration to that. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, then.
Good evening. My name is Jim Kilpatrick. I'm here to represent my son, Christopher Kilpatrick, who lives at 219 Strood Avenue. My son, Chris, purchased this home 3 years ago. Both him and I have lived all our lives in the East St. Paul, North Kildonan, East Kildonan area. We've watched this area develop. I first bought a home on Glenway in 1962, so we've seen how the area has advanced. My son had this opportunity to purchase this home and asked me also to look at it, and we went around and looked at the area, which we well knew in the first place. Now, what we're faced with is this development that is taking place behind, north of his home. Like Judy just spoke there about the area on Henderson Highway is one thing, but on the Bonner Avenue development, this just came into my hands a couple of days ago, so I haven't really had a good look at it. But however, what I look at here is that the city wants high density areas. This is what we're told by Mr. Taze. And I can appreciate that. I can also appreciate that there's land there to develop. And a developer comes in and he gives his best deal to the city. And what happens after that? You people look at it, but how many of you have gone around this area? Mr. Taze has pointed out Bonner and Strood. He has not involved the whole area. Now, the whole area, and the councillor will attest to this, that, or should attest to it, because from the Nora Villa, which is on Henderson Highway, south, north to the perimeter, from Henderson Highway on the east side to Lajumoti, this building will be the highest building in the area. It's a four-story, but they've gone ahead and put a cap on it. So it even is higher, I would, in my estimation, than the one that they've developed on Gateway and McIver. At least they had the decency to put a roof on, a flat roof on there. I mean, this building is a lovely building, but it is not designed for this area because it's too much and too little of a space. You're asking for variance of from 20 feet to 8 feet. Have you looked up at a building 8 feet or 4 stories high? Have you looked at it? Now let's take an example. The medical arts. It's butted right up against the sidewalk on the front edge. At the back edge, it's butted right up against the back lane. You walk down, you're in a wall of two of cement. That's fine. All those people go home. They go and live in another area. They're not looking at. I wrote in my notes here, just to add a little humor to this, I put the Berlin Wall, because that's what it's going to look like on, at the back of Stroud Avenue. He hasn't looked at the whole area. It's all one and two home, two-story dwellings in that area. So I'm totally against it because not only that, but it's going to devalue the property on Stroud Avenue. And these people that live on Stroud Avenue are investing their hard-earned money in that area to pay taxes for people in the city. And it's up to you to look at this and come and have a look at it, because it is you've just will have wrecked that area. And if you want to develop, find it someplace else. Put it next to your houses. But there, they have to come up with a better design, which is conducive to the area. You just don't do that to an area like this. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to the applications? It's your opportunity now. You've already spoken. I can't make a ruling on that sheet.
You want to suspend the rules?
Sure.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Should I do it from here? Go ahead.
We'll find out.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, now going to people who have registered for information. Herb Giesbrecht. Oh, you wanted to speak? Okay. So we're still in, opposed.
My name is Hans Regier. I live at 243 Stroud. It's backs on. I'm the Judy's neighbor. Nice development. They were very nice to us, everything else. Donovan even dated my new wife or whatever back then. I said, and that's why she's not here today. I don't enjoy this at all. I bought my place, fixed it, renovated, and I actually got to pay for it twice via divorce, and I wanted to stay in that area. And Now I'm dealing with this. I have the neighbors behind me already talking about selling or have sold their properties because they've all included it. The real estate agent told them that they can build condos. That's that nice green space that's not shown here right now. You can see all those trees and everything else that are on there. There's 72 condos going in this unit. There was 30 condos that were built at the end of Headmaster. There's another 94 condos. These people, had they known or whatever beforehand, they would have lost their minds. But there's another 94 condos slated for that area by Not Auto. And this traffic concern, my stepdaughter's driving this coming fall or whatever. I am very scared of what's happening because you cannot access, and I've been driving for 30 plus years, you cannot access Henderson Highway any time of day you want. I'm starting to go to MacIver because MacIver is a safer route, and I'm an experienced driver. I do 30,000 kilometers a year. I'm not a truck driver by any means, and I made a point of living in the city of Winnipeg. I did not want to move to East St. Paul and deal with that stuff because I do not want to leave the city of Winnipeg. I enjoy living in the city and the benefits that it has. I'm a city of Winnipeg employee. I enjoy living here. I don't want to be like everybody else that takes off and goes and works in East St. Paul. I have my lot. I enjoy living there. And this unit where you take down two houses on a residential street and you build a 72-unit condo just doesn't make sense to me. And what's going on Monroe and Henderson right now, where you're, and a guy actually sold his front yard so that you could actually build more condos. It drives me crazy. I just came from Saskatoon. The whole area in Saskatoon is built. And I don't want to say anything bad about Winnipeg or whatever, but we have to move forward in some of these areas. I like what they're doing in Concordia, where they're building the multi-family homes or whatever alongside the residential houses. That's what Saskatoon is doing. They built their homes, their residential homes, and then they built condo units beside there in a certain area. We're building a condo unit, four stories high, on a stretch of highway. I understand the Riverside. The Riverside is condo villa. It's become, if you drive down St. Anne's Road, come north on St. Anne's Road from the perimeter, it's disgraceful what's going on there. It is nothing but condos as far as the eye can see. I'm a City of Winnipeg firefighter. We drive to those condos. It's nonstop. It's an eyesore. It looks pretty. They built beautiful condos, but it's an eyesore. And I don't want Henderson Highway to become that eyesore. And now you're starting to put condos on the east side instead of the west side. I just don't see how that works. So I just wanted to voice that. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
Did I answer anything?
You good? Thank you very much.
Moving on to people who have registered for information. Herb Giesbrich, did you wish to speak? No? Okay. Mark Muller and Judith Muller? Okay. And we have a Troy Watkins. Thank you.
Well, I could appreciate Irwin Holmes and Landmark Planning Design consulting with
Excuse
our...
Excuse me.
Yeah. Excuse me. Can you state your name and address?
It's Mark Mueller, 227 Street. My house would be the fourth from where the back line turns in. And so in my case, we have a serious privacy issue there where they could basically look in and basically I'll have a brick wall as my new view. My other main concern is, and it's not just my concern, is the depreciation of our homes. Like, we've been here for 2 years, and now any of our friends that come over, they all feel sorry for us because nobody would want to be in our situation right now, having, you know, construction going on for 2 years or whatever, piles being pounded in, the noise pollution, whatever, the excess parking on our street. It's just going out of character as to what we thought we had bought 2 years ago, where we have a park-like atmosphere right now where I can leave my windows open and hear the birds chirping and squirrels running around, and now I'll be looking at something completely different. So that's my major concern, and I'd like to change it from information to opposition if I could. Thank you.
Mark Mueller.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Troy Watkins. I live at 235 Stewart Avenue. I'm the fifth house from there. About a year ago when I got that letter in the mail, Donovan from Landmark Planning had sent out about proposing this, I was pretty hot. I phoned Donovan right away, and I'm sure he can tell you there were some F-sharps were flying. I was very irate at first. My biggest thing was access in the back lane for me was huge. Like Donovan did say, we did have meetings in June and August. There was many people at both meetings. We talked about many different things. And my biggest thing for me was the back lane. We've talked, I've had a couple meetings with a couple of the neighbors, and how I look at things is a little different. Donovan said keep an open mind. I did do that. I do support it for the simple reason of if he doesn't get what he's going to, if he doesn't get it proposed, this, someone else could buy that land. It's every area, not just North Caledonia, where they're putting up condos, apartments, townhouses, whatever they're putting up. I think it could be worse than four stories myself. I think it could be 10 stories, 12 stories. Donovan and Andrew have made it clear in writing. Donovan brought up, I can read a few of them off, the no back lane access, and it will not apply to create access in the future. This will be in writing and registered against the title of the property in a legally binding agreement. For me, that's huge. We did, Donovan talk about the 6-foot wood fence around the whole perimeter of the whole unit on both sides around the whole place. I think that was big. The balconies, they did move in for us. I think that was huge for us and for Mark, for the two properties that are facing right here. They changed the windows, like you said, from 4 down to 3, and keep as many trees as they possibly can. And they say they will plant mature trees. I don't know. He's got everything in writing here. Hopefully that's enough to get it done, if that is true. I know that in a perfect world, if Bass would have sold it and everything else would have done, they could have built something farther up. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the land that's there. Bass is not ready to sell. So there is a chunk of land back there, and it's a lot of big chunk of land. Something is going there, whether we like it or not. I believe something will go there. I have no problem with what's going on with what these to build, for the simple reason of they've agreed to pretty much everything that I've asked for, and some of those people have asked for also. They've agreed to put all that in writing. My only issue I have is the traffic. That's probably not something that Donovan or Mark can do anything about it, but Mr. Brody, I've talked to you several times at my house. I've phoned you, and I actually just talked to your partner today, Luke, I believe his name is. Judy talked about that stop sign, the three-way stop sign onto Pentland. I've been 13 years on that street. I have an 8-year-old daughter. If any of you guys want to come into my driveway, we can drink beers in my driveway, and you can see me throw stuff at cars. It is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous how fast people went on that street. And Luke told me today that his words were the traffic numbers didn't support it for the wires, whatever study that they had. I don't know how you guys can say that traffic study, because you just have to come sit in our driveway and sit on the street and see how busy that street really is. It's ridiculous. The parking, just like I said, and it maybe I'm a little bit off topic here, but that is going to be something to do with it. The parking is a joke. Like Judy said, you got the Smitty's, you got Triple B's, you got the Claws, and you got the nurses. Everyone's parking in front of our houses all the time. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. A little off topic, it will be a little busier for sure, but to have them build what they're building it, I don't have a big issue with it. I really don't. I think something's going to go there no matter what. I don't think no one's going to stop that. It's not just North Caledonia. I've been there for 13 years, and I live with my parents all North Caledonia my whole life. Something is going to be built there, whether he did build it or someone's going to build something there. And if he doesn't build it, I'm scared to say that it's going to be a lot bigger going up, and it'll be maybe 12, maybe 15 stories, like on Rothesay, say, right by the Scotia Bank. It's a very big building went up right there. That's pretty much all I got to say. You have any questions?
No, thank you very much.
Is there anyone whose name has not been called that wishes to speak? Seeing none. If the applicant would like to come back.
Okay. I'll just try and respond to some of the concerns one by one. In terms of Judy's comments, Ms. Balabas, there were a couple who mentioned speeding, which is not really something that we can address. It's an enforcement in terms of existing bylaws, and particularly that it's on Strood. On the topic of Strood and parking, there is, we understand from the neighbors that there's an existing parking issue. The concern, I guess, in this case is that this proposal will make that parking problem worse, and our opinion is that it won't. Just from a logical point of view, not that those opinions are illogical, but for somebody to overflow parking to want to get to these units when there's no parking here, and there is adequate parking, we're not looking for a parking variance. So the bylaws do cover those scenarios where there's parking needed and extra parking needed, and we meet the bylaw. So we're not looking for some leniency on parking. But for someone to park here at Strood, since this will all be fenced with no access, they would have to park here, walk all the way up to Henderson, all the way down here, and then all the way back. And I just don't think that's very likely to happen. No offense to another opinion, but I don't think that will happen. There was a question of density. A number of people mentioned that this is high density. It's not high density. By definition of the bylaw in particular, we're not applying for RMFL, which would be residential multifamily large, which allows for much higher buildings like Mr. Watkins mentioned and I mentioned. We've applied for something more moderate, which is RMFM medium. The Mr. Kilpatrick had mentioned not involving the whole area. We did, in our view, we've involved the whole area. We advertised to the whole area, invited the whole area to come. The reality is that as you go further from any development, there's lower interest. So the people who have an interest, in our opinion, were either at our meeting or are here tonight. The question of property value, our experience, I didn't mention this in our presentation, but directly adjacent here, those trees are actually real. Those are not photoshopped in on these ones here. This neighbor here is not concerned with this development. What they are concerned about currently, and unfortunately they're not here to represent themselves, is that it's a vacant site. It's a dilapidated site. It's weeds like this in summer. The person who lives there, words were, build something because there's vermin and so on and so forth. And I don't mean to raise silly alarms, but the point is that it's a vacant, dilapidated site. And when it comes back to property value, I know from other developments, the biggest issue with reduction in property value or limitation in the market is unknown. A property that's adjacent to one that's unknown in terms of you don't know what it's going to be is worth less than one that you do know what it's going to be. The property values here, I'm not an appraiser, but my opinion is that they will go up, not down. We're talking about $300,000 units and substantial new investment in a community. So on the question of property values alone, I strongly believe that there will not be a negative impact, and I would hope that those who fear that could put that to rest for themselves. Mr. Regeer, I did not officially, for the record, date your wife, since you mentioned it on the record. We've had friendly conversations, as he said, and that's, Mr. Regeer's entitled to his opinion. I most definitely respect it. Fundamentally against something like this, and I'm fundamentally for something like this. Mr. Mueller mentioned the property value and the appearance, and we did, as we've outlined, make some substantial efforts on the privacy front, and that we didn't think that was just window dressing, so to speak. We think those were real commitments. And I should mention that these mature trees would stay. So some of these trees, you can't tell in any of these photos because they're from the air, are as tall or taller than this building. They're very, very substantial, and we've committed to having construction fencing along this corner to retain the maximum number of those mature trees as possible. And we're willing to, and on that note, in terms of being restricted, there was the question from Ms. Balibus about how do we get restricted, how do we get the list of commitments that Mr. Watkins read. We're willing to commit to them if you can find the mechanism. I suggest the mechanism is the zoning agreement that you'll undoubtedly ask us for. There are many developments like this around the city, and there are many that are much denser, as I mentioned in my presentation. I would call those other ones appropriate as well. I don't think anything's appropriate, but we do see this happening, and it is an important thing for our city to do. There isn't, if I had a dime every time I heard, I'm not against development, just not here. That's not a realistic scenario. There aren't many places for this, and we do need to make challenging and thoughtful changes within the existing fabric of our city. We will be asked to provide, and we will provide a sidewalk on Bonner here, connecting all the way to Henderson, so including the Shell frontage. That's a commitment we don't have an issue with. There will be that opportunity to walk up to Henderson Highway in this direction, and on the site you can actually see it rendered here. I did think about this question you asked me, Councillor Rawati. If it's an issue in some respect, we could limit that movement if there was some sort of movement problem or traffic concern you were trying to address. But we'd be willing to look at that if that was some issue that we hadn't seen.
As long as it works, I mean, yeah.
Well, that's all I had for a rebuttal.
So just confirming, you would be comfortable with any type of controls that we put in place at this time to ensure that what you're speaking of in terms of the glazing on the south side to be opaque so that there would be no sight lines, and that the patios on the
south face move north, northerly?
Right, would move at least, I don't know how many feet in is it going to be? Yeah.
We have a dimension. They're dictated by where those units are inside, right. So you can't move them so far that you can't have a unit there.
Okay.
So they've moved as far as possible to the north. Yes, to answer your question, we've built up a respectful relationship with the people in the area, notwithstanding a number here who've expressed some concerns about it. And anything that was spoken here today, we've already committed, as Mr. Watkins said, in writing to these conditions. So if you were comfortable with those.
And I appreciate that, you know, you listened to the community in regards to access to the lane. I mean, obviously that was a contentious issue. You'd be willing to extend that even a little further, such that you would prohibit all construction movement, even from day one, would not have any access from the lane to the site for even construction access, perhaps excluding the installation of the fence.
Yeah, we can accommodate that. I think obviously more access is better, but you see sites that are developed on tighter, you know, with tighter constraints, so we can agree to that.
Okay, thank you. No other questions?
Okay. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Okay. Ready? Yeah, I'm ready. So on the secondary plan amendment, I move that the report of the public service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I move that the receipt of the public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in and forwarded to the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
As was pointed out over the years, the secondary plan that applies to North Henderson has been modified numerous times in regards to multifamily housing. I think it's time we actually take a look at that secondary plan and perhaps update it and modernize it. This one go back to what, 79 or 81?
This one goes back to the 1970s.
Back to the 1970s, so probably even before I was born, just to put the context here that this is some really old stuff. Again, we need to make sure that it's sensitive with the neighborhood, and I applaud the applicant here for the extensive due diligence that was done in this case, working with the neighborhood, addressing the issues, doing the utmost to be a good and proper neighbor in this case. Again, going forward, I appreciate the concerns that the neighborhood had in regards to Henderson Highway. I think that we do need to work. It's going to be a capital budget item, but we need to modernize and complete Henderson Highway north of Fort Shape, where the median no longer exists, and we still have open drainage ditches within the city of Winnipeg on a major regional thoroughfare. That's something that needs to be addressed and something that I'm ready to start working on, trying to find capital funding to address. Improvements to the tax roll like this would certainly would help my argument going to the rest of the council that this is an appropriate thing to do going forward, because again, this will bring the city significant additional tax revenue going forward. In regards to the parking issues on Strood, I agree with Donovan's explanation that if there's going to be people parking on the street, it would not be on Strood Avenue, but perhaps on Bonner. You even see some overflow today from time to time, people using the coffee shop, or Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, you see people using the liquor marts store might park on Bonner Avenue when there's extreme busyness in that mall. It doesn't happen a ton, but it does happen on occasion, and I haven't heard too many concerns from the immediate neighborhood on that. In regards to concerns about this type of multifamily development going further up Bonner Avenue, again, that's not something that's in the cards here or being contemplated today in the least. I think we'd see a lot more opposition if you're trying to go mid-block and start or going up anywhere, you know, further down Bonner Avenue away from this development to see multifamily development. That's certainly not consistent with what's in that neighborhood today at all. In regards to property values, you're right. In the very, very short term, while construction is going on, it will be disruptive and probably for the neighbors that are immediately adjacent to this property. Once you're 3-4 houses away, it's not as significant a concern, I'd argue. But during the construction phase, you know, there, and you want to move during that period, it may be a little bit disruptive and not pleasant. But again, in the long term, I think having a weed-infested, derelict property is worse. You're worse off, and that this will actually benefit the neighborhood. You're talking about $300,000 plus condominiums. You know, single-family homes in that area, I think, would actually perhaps even stand to benefit over the long run. I will be making a requirement on one of the other motions coming up here that construction traffic is not to use the Strood Avenue back lane in any way, shape, or form. And I think that will help, you know, further minimize and mitigate concerns about Strood traffic and concerns over this time. I know it's a little bit... I know it's a little bit unrelated to this hearing today, but it was certainly brought up. There was the mention that the no parking sign between the lane and Henderson Highway was missing. I will contact Public Works on your behalf again to remind them that that needs to be installed. And it is certainly challenging with speeders and that. Again, a stop sign isn't necessarily gonna help. I mean, if people are ignoring speed limits and other driving laws, I don't understand. I don't see how they would recognize a stop sign, but again, further enforcement on Strood Avenue by the WPS is something that we can certainly look at and request. So those are the reasons for my motion here.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Okay. So moving along here, changing reports. This is a subdivision rezoning. I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be where do I start? I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.